teach in the college for the last few days, and I've truly enjoyed that, working with the college students and preaching to the chapel and to the, I guess it's been the middle school up and for most of the services, but truly enjoyed it. Almost feels like I'm involved in a church, amen. When you're in evangelism, traveling the road, sometimes you really miss that, miss the opportunity to be at home. And I sure love you all, and I pray for you faithfully, and I covet your prayers too. But it is good to be here. Well, I'm going to try to just kind of go right along with things and try to not be too long tonight. I want to give you something that the Lord has been working on my heart for a while about. And I told Preacher that I was telling him last week, I think I'm going to have this message finished. I'm going to preach it here before I preach it anywhere else. So we'll see. We'll try it out on you. Amen. We'll see how it goes. So, but I'm thankful that after we trust Christ as our Savior, that the Lord does not leave us alone until we get to heaven. That would really be pretty tough just to save us and say, well, just you're there, you know, fend for yourself. I mean, he doesn't leave us helpless or hopeless. Amen. He imparts to us his Holy Spirit. Who is not just the earnest or down payment of our salvation, but he's our helper and he's our comforter through the days of this life until full salvation is realized. There's a continuing work that's going on in the life of the believer, or ought to be going on in the lives of a believer, and it's the work called sanctification. You might say, well, I thought that happened the moment we got saved. Well, it did, but there are two parts to sanctification. And the first part is the positional sanctification. That is, when we trust Christ as our Savior, in the eyes of God the Father, we are sanctified before the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2 says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." So we are sanctified through Christ before the Father. Tells us over in verse number 30 there also, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Over in chapter, I love this, in Hebrews chapter 10, I read a couple verses to you here. It says this in verse number 10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Hallelujah for that. Amen. And sanctification, the positional part of sanctification, takes place the moment we trust Christ as our Savior. But the second part is practical sanctification. And that's something that should be happening every day as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God to live in this life in the manner that's pleasing unto the Father. Just a couple of verses to read to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3 and 4 make this statement. And you probably know these verses, but it says in verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." So you say, well, I thought we were sanctified when we trusted in Christ. We are positionally, but practically it has to be continuing in our life. What does that word sanctification mean? It means to be set apart unto the Lord. We're set apart unto God because of the blood of Jesus Christ, but we're supposed to be set apart unto him every day of our lives as we go through this life, and we're supposed to be living it unto him. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 21, and if I can find my page here, it says this. It says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." Sanctification is something that we continue to have happen in our life as we live day by day. We are complete in Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 10, it says this, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Amen. We are complete in Jesus Christ. But it tells us just a couple pages later in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, "But we labor to be complete in all the will of God day by day." So we're complete in him, but we need to labor every day. We need to be sanctified, set apart unto him, allowing him to live and work through us. God wants us to be perfect. He said, wait a minute, that can't happen, Brother Martin. Well, I'm just playing with you. The word perfect there does not mean completely sinless. It doesn't mean, so many people get that concept of that, but what it means is to be complete, to be complete. God wants us to be complete in him. He wants us to live that way every day. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and this is where we're going to kind of jump off to the little thought here tonight. In Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to notice as we begin to read in verse number 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." I want to take that little phrase there. I like to take words and do word studies and things, and I was thinking about this thing about the perfecting of the saints. And there are things that the Lord uses in our life to try to perfect us. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. The word here, it says in verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints." And it goes on to say, "unto a perfect man." So here's the simple little thought tonight. I want to preach on what God uses to perfect the saints. What God uses to perfect the saints. What he's trying to use in your life and mine to perfect us day by day, to help us to be sanctified day by day, to live unto him and to come to the place where we are complete in him. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for the privilege to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd take these simple thoughts and Lord, help us tonight. Help us to see there's so many of these we're going to understand as we go through that it seemed like they're very, very, very difficult. And but yet it is through those difficult things that you do perfect us. And Lord, I pray that you would do the work in our hearts that needs to be done. And we'll be very careful to give the honor and the glory that you alone deserve, for it's in Christ's name I pray, amen. Again, I'll give you quickly those definitions. The definition for the word perfect that you'll find throughout the scripture, this is what it means. It means to be complete. It means to be full. It means to be finished. Or it says to be wanting nothing or lacking nothing. That's what it is when we're perfect. Or perfecting, it says to be complete, furnishing, or equipping. And this is just a list of a few things that I was looking at as I studied this that God uses to perfect the saints. The first one is one we've already read here in Ephesians chapter 4. We're already at that spot. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So what is it that God uses to help perfect the saints? People. People. He uses ministers. He uses preachers. He uses evangelists. He uses pastors. By the way, he uses teachers too. Amen. Man, I tell you what, you look back over your life, and I'll guarantee you, if we went across the crowd here and we asked people to say, who has had the most impact in your life in leading you and pointing you in a godly way? So many times, Brother Barney, it'll be a Sunday school teacher. Why? Because that's what God uses to help work in our heart and challenge us and complete us in our life. He uses pastors. He uses evangelists. He uses the teachers and to work in our life and to challenge us and to help us through the truth of the Word of God to help us to become what we need to be. It's interesting that so many times, though, that is the thing that challenges or knocks people out of the race. What do you mean? People get frustrated with preachers. They get frustrated when an evangelist steps on their toes. Amen. They get upset when a teacher says something that they don't like. But this is what God's using to try to perfect us. Boy, we ought not get mad at the people that God puts in our life. He puts them in our life for a purpose and for a reason, to help us. Amen. You know, it's amazing how weak we are and how we cannot take correction today. Amen. Man, I see this all the time. And I'm talking about in the church. I'm talking about people that are in the church. Boy, if you can't take correction, you're pretty weak. Amen. You need to learn to take correction. Why? Because that helps us. That pastors and preachers and teachers and the people that God places over us, the things they're trying to teach us or trying to rebuke us or correct us, it's for our own good. It's for the completing work that God's trying to do in our life. When we fight against that, we're fighting God trying to complete us, make us perfect in Him. Amen. Again, we've lived in this day and age now for a while. It used to be that people could take correction. People could take rebuke. People could take. But boy, you just see so many people, man, you're disrespecting me. Come on. You can't take somebody telling you you're wrong. Amen. That you need to change something in your life. That's what God's using to try to help us, to perfect us. Amen. But yet we struggle so much with the different people that God puts in our lives. How about this one? The second thing that God uses, the things that He puts in our lives and uses for the perfecting of the saints. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You know these verses. Verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What the word of God, not just people, but God uses His word to perfect us. He's trying to use His word to perfect us. I think about that, the passage over in Psalm 19. Boy, I love that Psalm. You turn over there real quick and notice what it says here in Psalm 19, we'll just pick it up in verse number 7. Notice what it says here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is good reward. What are you saying? The word of God. God wants to use His word to perfect. That's why He's given us His word. Amen. He's given us His word so that we can know the truth, that we what we need to know about salvation, to trust in Christ as our Savior. But He's also given us the word to continue to perfect us, to show us how we're supposed to live our life. It's amazing how we're taking and changing the word of God continually. Amen. I was talking to the college students about this the other day, and you know, this is the one of the things we need to fight and stand for: the truth of the word of God. There is only one word of God. Amen. People can say whatever they want to say. They can say, well, I've got this version or that version of that. God gave us one perfect word. One perfect word of God. And we need to stick by it. Because here's the problem. As soon as you start changing one word in it, then you change the meaning of the truth of the word of God. You know, we're living in a day and age where all these people are saying that they're Christians. You know, why are... I'm sorry, don't be political. Sorry about that, I have to be, amen. This homosexual that's running on a Democratic ticket for the presidency of the United States, God came out the other day and talked about his Christian faith and talked about how that he is a better Christian than Donald Trump ever thought he was. He challenged Donald Trump to a debate on his Christianity and said that he would show him up in a debate and he'd show him what the truth of Christianity is all about. Now, how can somebody that is living in direct contradiction to what the Word of God has to say teach somebody else on what it means and what the Word of God means? Well, wait a minute. He just might be using one of those other versions. What do you mean that takes out those things? You know that they have a Bible out there now that came out about 4 or 5 years ago called the Queen James Bible. The Queen James Bible. And it takes out all the references, derogatory references toward homosexuality. And they said that they wrote it, or they translated in honor of King James, who was really a bisexual. What are you saying, Brother Martin? How in the world could we get to the place that we've got to today? We've gotten away from the truth of the Word of God. And why do we always try to change it? This is why we're in the trouble we're in our nation today in another respect. What we're always trying to change. All these new judges and everything are trying to change what the Constitution says. They're trying to change what the truth of the law is. They're trying to interpret what the law is. Wait a minute, it's there. Just read it. Just live by it. Just, hey, the Word of God is there, man. Don't try to change it to fit your need or what you want. Hey, get in the book, study the book, memorize the scriptures, and let them complete you. Let them perfect you. Let them do the work on you that needs to be done in your life. Amen. The Word of God is a perfecting tool in the life of the believer if we'll allow it to be. How about this one? Here we go. We're going to start rubbing ourselves the wrong way here. Matthew chapter 5. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. God, the things that God uses in our life to perfect us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Okay, what's it dealing with in context? It's dealing with loving your enemies. It's dealing with loving the unlovely. It's dealing with treating those that treat you terrible in a good way, in a good fashion. Oh man, why should I do that? That's against our grain. That's against our flesh. That's not what we want to do. But God says, hey, by doing that, it's a perfecting thing in our life, makes us more perfect like our Father in heaven, complete like our Father in heaven. Hey, he shines on the just and the unjust. Amen. And he expects every one of us to live the same way. Well, who is it that's wronged you? Who is it that's done something to you and you're still holding something against them? Or you're not wanting, or your enemies, those that have something against you, do you have something back against them, or are you trying to love them just like the Lord says we're supposed to? It's a perfecting work that goes on in our life. Why? You say, but it's against who I am. It's against your flesh. And that's a good thing, because this flesh is not a good thing. This flesh is a corrupt, wicked thing. And so we need to stay in tune with the Word of God and what the Word of God tells us. What is it? Hey, there's some things that he's given us to perfect us, to complete us. He's given us certain peoples in our life. He's given us the Word of God in our life. He's given us this command here that we're supposed to love our enemies. It helps to perfect us to do that. Amen. What about this one in Colossians chapter number 4? Colossians chapter number 4. And I alluded to this earlier. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Now notice what it says here. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Well, what else has God given us to perfect us? Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. It says that this man Epaphras was laboring in prayer for them, for their perfecting of those saints, so that they could become perfect in all of the will of God. You know, God uses intercessory prayer to help perfect us. Think about this. How many times have you heard the story of somebody that was lost, and they were out there living life and doing whatever they wanted to do, everything, and they ended up getting saved? And when they give their testimony, they said, I had a mama at home that was praying for me. What are you saying? Intercessory prayer, which helped for the perfecting of the individual to trust in Jesus Christ. How many times have we had people that plead and pray and beg that God will do a work in somebody's life to change them, to make them what God wants them to be? And when we see that accomplished, man, that's a perfecting work. We can have a part in the perfecting work in somebody else's life. Amen. Man, we went through a battle a number of years ago, my wife and I, and when our eldest son got away from the Lord. And I'm telling you what, there was a lot of prayer put into that. I had preachers all over the country praying for him. He was away from God for a couple years. But God finally broke him, and he finally came back to the Lord. And man, he loves God today. He's faithfully serving the Lord. He's raising his family in church and doing things that are right. What are you saying? Hey, man, intercessory prayer works. Why don't we become a part of that? I mean, the problem with most of us today, seriously, is that most of our prayer life is devoted right here. Let me tell you something. God says that he knows every need that we have. And by the way, he said that he will fulfill the needs that we have in our life. The majority of every one of our prayer life that sits here today ought to be intercessory prayer. And through that, God will use us to help in the perfecting of the saints, to bring them to the place, to perfect them in the will of God, to do what God wants them to do. Amen. How much time do we put into intercessory prayer? If I was to ask you, if I went across a room and each and every individual, and I said, how much time did you pray this week other people and for God to do something in somebody else's life or to perfect somebody else or to do a healing work in somebody else's life or whatever? How much time have we spent in that? Or is this the first time that we've prayed? When we bowed our head tonight and we had this prayer and Brother Ham got up and prayed and tried to lead us in prayer together. Listen, if we're going to be complete, by the way, can I just chide us a little bit here? Everybody in this church, we ought to be praying for one another. Everybody in here, you ought to pray for everybody in this church. You ought to name every individual that's a member of this church before the Lord in prayer. Well, Brother Martin, come on, man, that's a lot of people. Yeah, we've got a good group of people. But we need to pray for one another. We're the body of Christ. Amen. Who else is going to pray for us to keep us going? I wonder how much more God could do if we would pray for one another and be in unity the way that we're supposed to be. Amen. God uses intercessory prayer. It's a perfecting work in the lives of people. Amen. How about this one? Here's the tough one. Hebrews chapter 2. The things that God uses in perfecting us. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 10. It says, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. You know, who's that talking about? Talking about Jesus Christ. What do you mean? The perfecting work in Christ's life was through the sufferings that he went through. And you say, wait a minute, he was perfect. He was God in the flesh. I know, but in the humanity and what he went through, the perfecting work in his life was through the sufferings that he went through. It also says that over in chapter 5, just a couple chapters over there in verse number 6, it says, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What are you talking about, Brother Martin? Hey, another thing that God uses in our life to perfect us is suffering. Amen. We don't like to think about that one. And I don't want suffering in my life. I don't want to have to go through the heartache and the sorrow. But God uses that to perfect us, to complete us in him. Because when we go through the sufferings of life, we have nowhere to turn but to the Lord. We can turn to people, we can turn to doctors, we can turn, but let me tell you something, the only one that can help us is the Lord. Through the sufferings in our life is when God becomes strong. You think about the Apostle Paul over there in 2 Corinthians chapter, look over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, at that passage where the Apostle Paul spoke about the thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he saith unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. God's strength is made perfect through us when we go through the sufferings in our life. It says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Yes, when we go through the sufferings of life, God's using those things to bring us to a complete person in Him, a person that is perfected in Him. We can't think of it in that light when we're going through it. It's so difficult. I'll leave tomorrow afternoon. My wife and I will leave tomorrow afternoon. We'll head up to Michigan to go to the funeral of a 30-year-old young man. I was at the hospital with their families 2 weeks ago when I was preaching up in Michigan. And sitting there with them and going through the hardships that they were going through, and while he was on the machine, and it didn't look like he was going to make it back then. And God answered some prayers and brought him out of it for a while, where he got to talk with his wife and see his wife again, but God took him home to heaven. Now, it's hard when you're going through that to believe that somehow this is perfecting me. But God has a purpose, and God will use it to perfect you if you allow him to. If you'll turn to him, he'll be strong in your weakness. There's a lot of heartache in this room. Amen. There's still mourning and grieving going on in this room for loved ones, for people that extended family members, Brother Smith. There's a lot that goes on suffering wise, but God will use it to perfect us if we'll trust Him. If we'll keep our eyes focused on Him and believe that He is the strength, He'll take it and use it in a positive way to help us. Amen. It doesn't seem like that when we're going through it, but hey, how about 1 Peter chapter 5? Over in 1 Peter chapter 5. You say, I don't know if I believe that, Brother Martin. I don't know that I believe that, you know, that God wants us to go through this suffering. And well, I think the scriptures are pretty clear. I mean, if Jesus had to go through it, well, who are we any better than Jesus that we ought to not have to go through it? But in 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse number 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's saying, through suffering, through persecution that we go through, God uses that as a work to perfect us or complete us in Him. See, because so we can't get through the struggles and battles on our own. We need somebody. I think, Brother Ham, I think so oftentimes of people that don't know Christ. How in the world do people that don't know Christ make it through the sufferings and the persecution of this life? But those of us that know Christ, we ought to allow those sufferings to do the work that God wants to do in our lives to perfect us in Him, to be the testimony. Hey, no telling what God's going to do to use what you're going through and your suffering to help somebody else. That's always God's plan. He wants to use people that go through things to help them. How about, I only get two more here. Next one, turn over if you would to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Oh boy. Here's another tough one. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Boy, another thing that God uses, a work that He uses in our life to perfect us, is patience. I see you laughing, Brother Ham. Does your wife say the same thing to you? You ain't got none of that. My wife tells me, I've got a couple messages I preach on patience, and she says, how can you preach on that? I say, because it's in the Bible. Amen. And I'm a preacher, and I got to preach what's the whole counsel of the Word of God. Amen. But you and I know the truth that this is a real tough one. How many of you be honest enough to say, Brother Martin, I really struggle with this one? I'd raise both hands. Amen. This is something that I struggle with, but patience is a perfecting work. You know, I think back in the scriptures, and I think back about how God caused people to go through times and waiting periods and things like that. But through that patience, God perfected the people that he worked on. Hey, through Abraham and Sarah. Yeah, he told them that they were going to have a child, and I think that they probably thought, man, we're going to have a child in the next year or two. Well, guess what? 30 years later, their son is born. But the truth of the matter is, through all that they went through, they didn't have perfect patience as they were going along, but they were learning patience. And you know, that's exactly what God wants us to learn in our life, patience. Let God have his perfect work in our life. It's only going to come if we'll allow patience to rule in our life. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's a hard thing. Patience is... And there's so much in the Bible that talks about this thing about patience. How about over in chapter 5 and in James chapter 5 and verse number 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He's saying, hey, look back at Job. Think about Job. Think about what Job went through. Job went through and endured a huge trial of affliction. But going through that all, yes, he had his ups and downs, but the patience that God was working in his life, when he got to the end, God blessed him with double what he had before. Amen. What are you saying? The patience is a perfecting work in our life if we'll let God work through that and we don't lose our patience and give up and quit. Back in James chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, seest thou how faith, think about this. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect? The work of faith in our life, the patience to trust God, and the work of faith is made perfect in our life as we have patience in him. Well, when we went into the ministry those many years ago, we're coming up on the end of 24 years in the ministry, but I was 38 years old when we stepped out. You all know this story, but 38 years of age to step out in the ministry. Now, I think back oftentimes, and I look back and I say, you know, it's kind of like Moses when God told Moses to go. Now, no comparison in the respect of the amount of people and everything. He had to lead all those people out, but God didn't tell him there'll be a McDonald's on this corner and a Burger King over here, and you know, you're going to feed these people. No, he had to learn to wait on God and be patient, and through that, God worked in his life through the patience that he had. It was a perfecting work for the faith in his life. When I went into the ministry, I didn't have we didn't have a salary, and we had five children. And how in the world are you going to make it, God? I mean, by patiently enduring and just trusting the Lord, we watch God supply. We watch God meet our needs. Hey, by the way, we're still doing it today. Amen. And I'm no different than you are. God wants to work in your life and through patience, and if we can patiently endure, he'll perfect us. He'll complete us in the work of faith and what he has for us. Other things that we could look at, but I'm going to show you one last one. I'm done. Now here, I saved the best for last. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. I'm not going to read down through that whole passage, but what's it talking about? It's talking about controlling the tongue. The person that can control their tongue, God says, can become a perfect individual, can become perfect or complete in him. Boy, how many times have we struggled with this one? Controlling our tongue. And if you're like me, somebody does something, I want to spout off. I just want to say what I feel, or just that's just the way it is. But wait a minute, that's not the work that God's trying to do in our life. He's trying to get us to bridle our tongue. He's trying to, you know what he goes on to say about the tongue. You know how evil and wicked, I mean, it's set on the fire of hell, amen. But God says that we're supposed to learn to control that. Why? That's a perfecting work. We can be a perfect and complete in him if we can control that tongue, amen. I don't know if you thought about this as I was going through this list, but every one of these things are things that we all have a hard time with. What do you mean? We have a hard time with people. With people preaching to us and telling us what to do all the time. And yes, sometimes we fight against that. We have a hard time with, if I sat here and went around the room, how many of us have been faithful and are staying faithful and staying true and memorizing the word and sticking by the word? It's a difficult thing to do. We have to challenge our body. We have to beat against ourselves to be able to do that. Hey, what about that intercessory prayer? Man, that's a difficult thing. Man, we want to pray and spend our time praying for ourselves and what God can do for us, but that's not what perfects us. What helps to perfect us and other people is when we pray for other people. Amen. What about the loving your enemies? Man, that's not easy to do. I know it's not easy to do, but it's a perfecting work in our life. Well, what about suffering and persecution? Man, that's difficult. It's hard to go through these things. Sure it is. But God can use that to perfect us the way he wants us to be perfected and complete in him. What about patience? Wow, what about controlling our tongue? You see, it's interesting that the things that we struggle with the most are the things that God uses to perfect us. Maybe tonight we just look at our life here tonight and take a checkup about where we're at this evening. How are we doing with the things that God's putting in our life to try to complete us? To try to perfect us, to try to bring us unto that individual that he wants us to be. Hey, to bring us to the church that he wants us to be, the perfecting of the saints. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here tonight and, Lord, to speak for just a few moments to your dear people and these people that I love so much. Lord, I thank you for them. Lord, they're such a blessing to me and my family. And God, I pray that you would just take the truth of your word as I've tried to present it this evening, and Lord, help us to understand the work that you're trying to do in our life. Every one of these things, Lord, as I was going through them, I was challenged about how I struggle so much with these things in my life, but yet that's what will be the perfecting work in my life. And God, help us to be honest before you tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed.